This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. We cover a lot of different topics around the Umpqua Valley and probably all the water cooler talk where you are today revolves around the speech last night by President Trump to a joint session of Congress. We're going to get reaction from 4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle, who was there and joins us live from Washington, D.C. Congresswoman, thanks for being on.
Well, thanks for having me, Kyle.
So I guess, first of all, what was your overall reaction to what you heard last night?
I was just hoping beyond hope that the president would use this as an opportunity to bring the country together. And, the election was close, and we're a divided country, and this could have been that moment. But it was not that moment. There was, active disinformation spread. But, there are things that he said that people in my district and we want to bring manufacturing back to the United States. It would be great to have shipbuilding here. It's important to, have our trade policy balanced. It is important to make sure that the border is secure. The problem is he didn't talk anything about the economy in 100 minutes, barely talked about the economy, spread disinformation about Social Security, didn't address the cost of living increases that really caused people to be unhappy. And so I was disappointed for sure.
Talk about the atmosphere last night, being in the room, and contrast it with what you've experienced in the past couple years.
So the atmosphere was tense. We had Republicans in the Freedom Caucus that made it clear they were going to police anyone, any Democrat that did anything that violated the rules or who acted up. And meanwhile, Marjorie Taylor Greene came in. You're not supposed to wear a hat on the floor of the House. It is disrespectful. It is, our duty to show up and be respectful. So, there really seemed to be two different sets of rules for us versus sets of rules for them. But it was tense on the Republican side. They were very happy, very rowdy. And it was clear President Trump was talking to one party, not one country, not one set of Congress people, but one party. And I think that we need to be loyal to our country and our nation and not just one party or one person.
Now, CBS and CNN both saying public approval of the president's speech somewhere between the upper 60s and upper 70% level. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't. The things he talked about were the things he talked about on the campaign. And again, in general, as buckets of things to talk about, they're very, very popular. However, my issue is the disinformation. For instance, about Social Security, I am very, very concerned about Social Security. We're hearing that, in 60 to 90 days, they may not be able to get checks out because of the antiquated system and how many people have been fired. He said that 1.3 million people from the ages of 150 to 159, have been getting, are listed in the Social Security database. Well, Elon Musk and the people he hired who are unqualified and have access to your private information don't know how to read the reports for the COBOL system, which is a 60-year-old database. And so they actually read the data wrong, and yet the president doubled down and Elon Musk has doubled down. They won't admit when they've made a mistake, and I'm not sure what to do about that. We just heard today there'll be cuts of 83,000 people that work at the VA. We had our, I had heard last week that we had nurses, we had healthcare providers that had been hired, had moved across the country, that were told not to come to work. And the fact of the matter is, whether it's Social Security or Medicaid or our veterans, those people have earned those benefits, and it is our responsibility to take care of them. We didn't hear about that, but the cuts that are happening are not about waste, fraud, and abuse. I want to cut waste, fraud, and abuse. Anyone in their right mind would want to cut waste, fraud, and abuse, and understands that dealing with government, like, there are a lot of things that are broken. But what's happening with the across-the-board cuts is making government less efficient and not delivering for taxpayers, while still, giving large contracts to Elon Musk himself and a number of other defense contractors. We want to look for waste, fraud, and abuse. We should look at the Department of Defense.
Now, earlier today, in fact, I think about an hour and a half ago, I got the release you put out about speaking to the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Financial Services and General Government. Talk about what you had to say there.
Well, what I had to say is that Congress is a separate, co-equal branch of government. So when Congress has said, we have the power of the purse, the Senate has the responsibility to advise and consent. And then the executive branch, they are a separate branch of government, the judiciary, separate branch of government. We need those checks and balances. And when Mike Johnson and Republicans have handed the power of the purse over to the president without those checks and balances, it is a problem. For instance, there are a lot of grants and investments in projects, whether it's water and sewer, roads, grants for wildfire fighting, that have been frozen. But when Congress said, this is what we want to spend the money on, there's a process for the executive branch to say, we think it shouldn't be spent here, we will challenge it. However, that's not being used. The president and his administration are just wholesale ignoring what Congress puts out. If I vote for a budget and I put thought into that, I expect to negotiate with my Republican colleagues on what's a priority. What's a priority for the 4th District or for their district? But when we make that decision, we should be negotiating with the president. He should have his own budget. That's not what's happening. They are wholesale ignoring Congress. And what is happening is that Republicans are handing over the power given to us in the Constitution to the administration, and that is not our role.
And so do you believe then the DOGE actions, for example, are essentially circumventing Congress's power to determine appropriations?
Absolutely. No person, Democrat or Republican, should have unchecked power that allows them to circumvent our entire system of civil service protections. If you're going to, let people go and have government efficiency, great. But, we found out yesterday that, with the firings that they had in NOAA, the GSA, they let go of the people who have the technical knowledge to operate the equipment that gives us tsunami warnings. We don't have that anymore. So when you cut, and again, we should absolutely cut spending in government, it should be done strategically, much like tariffs. I think tariffs are a great tool, but our farmers are still recovering from the retaliatory tariffs on agriculture that happened because of the Trump tariffs from 2017 rather. And we're a very export-dependent state. So again, we should be bringing manufacturing back here. We should be selling things in the United States. And we should use tariffs strategically. We've had terrible free trade agreements that lost us a whole lot of jobs in the United States. And these blanket tariffs are going to hurt American manufacturers. They're going to, American consumers are going to pay for it. And so I just think that we need to be more strategic. And again, what DOGE is doing, an unelected billionaire, you know, Elon Musk has the keys to everything and all our private information and is making decisions even though he has no knowledge of how government works and what's important to us, the taxpayers, certainly in Oregon.
What are you hearing from longtime members of Congress about the pace of the new administration and all that's taken place in just a matter of weeks?
You know, I think people are not quite sure. Well, they're appalled. They're, you know, freaking out because their constituents are coming in and saying, hey, these key services we need to take care of our veterans, right, to take care of people with disabilities, to have projects funded that have already been started. We have contractors calling us saying, I hired people ready to work on this project, but the money's been frozen. So members of Congress are unsettled. Some are appalled. Some are unsettled. And we have that small group of people who just really want to burn it all down. Again, I think that anyone that defends the institution of government, federal government, wholeheartedly is wrong. We need to fix things. But breaking things without having something to replace them is not the way to go about it. So members of Congress are unsettled. And again, the pace is fast. And I don't mind fast. I think fast is good, provided we're doing things in a strategic way.
Now, have you heard about specific impacts on federal employees in Oregon? You mentioned NOAA, but maybe others you are aware of?
Oh yes. One of the ones that I am most concerned about is the Bonneville Power Administration. There are such significant cuts at the BPA that in Central Oregon, they only have one electrician that's left. So when you go out to Redmond, the BPA there, work rules require electricians to work in pairs because of high voltage. And it effectively means the office cannot respond to an emergency. So I am working with my other colleagues, Democrats and Republicans, because what we're going to see with the staffing all being, you know, so many people being fired at the Bonneville Power Administration is that we're going to see higher rates and we're going to see brownouts. You know, again, being strategic about who is let go, when they're let go, is really, really important. Bonneville Power concerns me. 260 people in Washington and Oregon were fired from the Forest Service. We have seen cuts in, you know, air traffic controllers and people who are retiring, and again, the VA. So I have been talking to federal workers who have called me and said, hey, I just want you to know this many people got laid off. This means we can't do the things that need to be done, basic services. And, you know, it's concerning.
The term rolled out by the administration on some of this was probationary employees, and a lot of people would initially think those are newer hires, and in a lot of cases that is accurate. But I'm told that if somebody is in a particular federal agency and, for instance, has been promoted, let's say, from to a higher level to a supervisory position, that means they are now a probationary employee again for that role that they have. And I have heard about folks with many years of experience being terminated, not just newer hires.
So we have heard this as well. People that were promoted because of their expertise, because of their knowledge, and if they had been in that job less than 2 years, they're considered probationary, even though they may have been at that agency for much longer. So, again, it's this wholesale just wiping out of any expertise without thought to how do we keep people that need to literally keep our lights on, or let us know when there's going to be a tsunami, right? Like things that are critical to our safety. So, you know, what we've been doing is going back. I certainly work with Cliff Benz quite a lot in making the cases for when we think that these firings have gone sideways and when they're going to have devastating impacts in our community. And we've been able to get some things turned around, whether it's wildfire fighting grants or some other things. But again, just, you know, you measure twice, cut once. Having some forethought into making this happen, really going after waste, fraud, and abuse, which I wholeheartedly think we should be doing, that is different than breaking things in a way that's going to cost us more.
You mentioned veterans. What have you heard about the VA in Oregon and maybe even Roseburg in particular?
Yeah, I am very concerned. 83,000 employees. And if they go through the VA and do the cuts in the way that they've done cuts across the board, right, not looking at who's important or not, we're going to be in dire circumstances. We know how important services to our veterans are, and we already don't have the services that we need. And anyone that has gone to the Roseburg VA will tell you that. I literally did talk to a nurse that had moved her family from Florida to come to the VA, was getting fingerprinted for the job, and was told, you no longer have a job. And that right there, you know, we know that we need these medical providers. Now, the layoffs at the Roseburg VA are leaving the hospital with a skeleton crew to stock medical supplies. That's important. So I also am very concerned about the Roseburg Veterans Home. We have been working on getting that funded in a bipartisan way for a very long time. And I'm not sure, you know, again, if the administration is not paying attention to the direction from Congress, how can I trust that any budget we negotiate is, you know, going to be adhered to? We can't. Now, I will say one thing that the administration has been supportive of is the Port of Coos Bay. And, you know, there have been talks with the new transportation secretary, Sean Duffy, and certainly as I'm talking to people in and around the administration, I have explained that no administration, Democrat or Republican, have followed through with the promise to the people on the South Coast to replace those jobs we lost in the timber industry. Also, the other main port that's getting investment is the Port of Prince Rupert Sound, and Canada has put $3 billion into that port. I don't think we should be outsourcing our supply chain, and the administration is certainly looking favorably upon that, and I am grateful.
Now, on a lighter side of things, perhaps, I understand you had a resident of the district accompanying you last night. Tell us about her.
Yeah, she is a grass seed farmer, fifth generation grass seed farmer, former president of Oregon Women in Agriculture. And I wanted to bring her because it's important. Agriculture is so important, not just to our district, but to our state. We're a very export-dependent state. We feed the world, whether it's with our agriculture or our fish, what we grow, what we raise. And it was important to me to show how important that is, and also that when we think about tariffs, that we think about the impact that it's going to have on our farmers and our local economy. But I was very proud to have her here.
Now, in a couple minutes that we've got left here, let's turn the page a bit. Talk about other things that you're working on for the 4th District, some of your priorities for this session of Congress.
Of course, the Port of Coos Bay, very, very important, and that is a bipartisan-supported project. Working on tribal co-management of our federal lands. I mean, we're looking at a federal workforce that has been devastated, and I think that we can look at how can we manage our forests better by working with our tribes and also getting timber receipts back to our counties and our local community. And then I just put forward a bill on Social Security, which would extend the solvency of Social Security by 75 years and increase the benefit by $2,400. I introduced it with Senator Bernie Sanders just last week. And what it would do, I mean, a teacher, a firefighter, a nurse pays the exact same amount for Social Security as Elon Musk or George Soros or another millionaire or billionaire. And that's just not right. I think that so we would have people pay into Social Security, but no one who makes under $250,000 would pay a dime more. And that is 91% of the population.
Got about a minute left here. What about your committees? What are some highlights right now?
Oh, I'm on the Natural Resources Committee. I'm the ranking Democrat on the Water, Wildlife, and Fisheries Subcommittee, also on the Indian and Insular Affairs Subcommittee, and I'm on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, a really, really functional committee, and we'll be putting through the Surface Transportation Bill, and I'm on that subcommittee as well. So I love the work that I do here. I do work very closely with my colleagues, both Republican and Democrats, so we need to make government work. We need to root out waste, fraud, and abuse, and we need to make sure that we're delivering for taxpayers exactly what they paid for, which is, again, focusing on projects that are priorities for each of our communities.
Do you feel like things are especially exhausting right now?
I mean, you know, I've always been a hard worker, so it's, you know, 7 in the morning till 10 at night, and I'm grateful to be able to do this job.
4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle, live from Washington, D.C. Congresswoman, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.